Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater. Coming up on this episode, the Giants are so hilarious. Doc Rivers might go coach the Lakers. Well, also I got Unblock Me Bo, but first... Oh, man, the NCAA tournament is here. I want to start by telling you something that seems counterintuitive, but I feel like a whole lot of y'all will agree with me if you actually take a moment and stop and think about it. Is it possible that the worst thing that ever happened to our collective viewing experience of the NCAA tournament would be that now they put all the games on TV? Think about this for a second. The NCAA tournament, we used to always talk about that as being the greatest time in the college. Like, not even the college, just like the pro schedule. The first weekend of the NCAA tournament used to, without question, be my favorite thing in the world, right? It was just, man, it's just like just straight adrenaline, man. It was always so much fun. But then we got more, and I don't think that more was necessarily better. Like, Gabe, I bet you never thought about it like this, but the original Red Zone channel was the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
In what sense?
In the sense that since all the games were playing on one network, what they were just doing was hopping back and forth to the best games, and you just got all the dopest moments.
Interesting.
You didn't have to watch the rest of it. And you know what the rest of it is? A bunch of college basketball games.
You didn't know you needed that oxygen channel, did you?
Yeah, you had no idea. Dude, it's just like we used to get just the straight rush on it, right? Now... you can flip and watch the whole game if you want to, but how often is it that the tournament is going on and there is just one game that you want to watch where if it was back in the CBS days, you wouldn't get that game anyway, A, because there was great national interest, or B, because it was a local game for you. Right. So what we have is access to a bunch of games that, quite honestly, we don't really want to watch. We're not really there. Like, you can throw some stakes on it, but most of these matchups that are going to be like the 4-5, you don't really want to watch that. And that's just not how the game goes, right? That's just not what it is. So now you can go and you can decide what game you want to watch, and then you got to go on the damn internet and you got to flip through and find out what channel True TV is. That's an annual ritual for me. And then go around and kind of flip through the games. You got to pay attention to what the scores are. And I guess they're nice enough to put them on the screen, but you got to do all that. And you got to go flip around to find the games. When back in the day, the man on high just came and was like, hey, this is the game you need to see right now. And you was like, you're right. You're right. And then you go watch that game. Yeah, man. People ain't thought about it like that, but that's the truth. More has not been better. You know, the other thing that we've gotten that is more, that's not necessarily making the NCAA tournament better, more information. I feel like we don't really get, I mean, we got a 116 win last year, but I still don't feel like we get like all those classic 12-5 wins that we used to get. And I'm just totally guessing. The numbers might be exactly the same, but I feel like a big cause of upsets back in the day early in the NCAA tournament was that the selection committee did not have nearly as much information and they did not watch nearly as many games. Therefore, they were just kind of randomly putting some of these teams together, and some people were just drawing unfortunate L's because that team wasn't supposed to be no 14 seed. That team wasn't supposed to be no 12 seed, right? Like in this day and age, they had a little more information, then schools would probably be seeded a little bit higher and go in there playing somebody else. See? All this information, they don't even took the upsets away from us in a lot of ways. Hadn't thought about it like that, had you? I'm serious, man. Like, it more is not, we like this tournament because it's fun. Like, them little teams that come in there and make their little Cinderella runs, man, they ain't got no business overwhelmingly being in this tournament. We put them in there because it's fun, because they might have a little hot streak, and then they get to roll. But them, you know, like these automatic qualifiers, they're not in there because they among the best 68 teams in the country. They in there because they make it fun, right? Like, we do all kinds of things in the name of making this tournament fun. I feel like we need to take away all the databases and all the sheets and all that stuff away from the people who run the tournament and just put them out there and just make them watch games on TV and just guess. I bet we have a better tournament if we did. I don't care who deserved nothing. Basketball, I don't care. You know?
Who's going to make up this new committee?
Well, you know the answer to that. Condoleezza Rice. She'd handle all the committees. Yeah, yeah, okay, cool. Boom, problem solved. Condoleezza Rice, just go out there and just like throw some stuff together. Let me know how it works out. Or they'd be like, damn, Condoleezza, how come so many of these teams are on the right side of the map? Anyway, did you watch Zion?
I did. I did. It was like watching Godzilla dunk.
It was incredible. He has no business playing with the other children. Which is still impressive, by the way, right? Like, yeah, we don't have, like, the high end of older talent in the NCAA that we used to have. Okay, cool. But it still is crazy that there's still a lot of, like, sophomores and juniors out there, and they have no business being on the floor with him at all. He is a monster. And the Carolina game was the one that stood out to me. Like, I know the Syracuse game was probably a bit more eye-popping, but the Carolina game, Syracuse game, he went 13 for 13 from the floor. Carolina game, he had something like 11 attempts in the first half, as if he looked around and got charged up and realized, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to have to win this game for us. Got it.
The idea of him being charged up.
Yes.
Is something that should strike fear in the hearts of everyone.
Dude, and that's just what he did. Like, Carolina's a better team than Duke. I think if they played again, there's a good chance that Carolina would win it. But Carolina doesn't have that guy. They just simply do not have that dude. And I thought that when the season started, we got a tendency in this industry to try to get out ahead of the big thing. Like, everybody wants to say that they were on it first and that they saw it coming. And so, but you'll have, and this network obviously was a big part of it, there was a huge push behind Zion Williamson and a push of the hype that was there. And this was in spite of the fact that we had been told that this dude wasn't even the best incoming player on his own team. No, the hype was what was correct in this case. He is, at least as a college basketball player, every bit as good as they said he was. Every bit as good. And, I mean, I didn't get fooled. Like, I'm just saying I understand why it is that you might have been skeptical of Zion, because every time they showed you some highlights of Zion, I mean, from high school, like, Gabe, you seen his high school stuff?
Yeah, I mean, he's like one of the first kind of in recent memory of having videos of him, like, back when he was even a freshman or even younger, where you've kind of just been for years and years been anticipating, like, oh, I wonder how it's going to be when this guy gets to college.
Yeah, but did you notice who, like, was, like, on the floor with him on a lot of those highlights?
Children.
Yes, yes. I honestly, knowing, like, what I know about the world and, like, knowing what I know about South Carolina, I can't believe the other schools in that league kept letting him play against them. Like, I cannot believe that there was not a giant, like, birth certificate incident in that league. Because, I mean, them people ain't put them kids in that school to play on that basketball team, to play in that league, for them to be out here getting dunked on by Zion. that's not what they're here for. Like, I'm looking at the squad, like the squad that he's on and the ones he's playing against, and I'm like, look, man, these kids ain't out here trying to get no D1 scholarships. They just out here trying to stay in shape, school spirit, all of that. And then next thing you know, Godzilla shows up and is just destroying people. Whew. That could have been pleasant. I'd say this is one of my homeboys. He went to high school in Alaska. And he was an all-state football player. Played on the line. And this was like when Carlos Boozer was in high school. And my man said the basketball coach came up to him and was like, hey, wanna come out for the basketball team? We sure could use you to guard Boozer. And he's like, why is it that I would go to practice just for the privilege of getting dunked on in front of my mom? Like, who wants that?
Very fair point.
As I be thinking about with Zion, and like, it's not like what a hard foul going to do against Zion? Right? How hard, as a high school player, how hard do you have to foul Zion for that to, like, register in any way whatsoever? Ain't nothing you can do, man. Nothing. And now he's out here with these college boys, and there's really not much that can be done there either. I imagine that Duke going to see a bunch of zone in this tournament. Like, you got to, right? Dare R.J. Barrett to shoot to shoot them out of a game and give us something where maybe we can collapse on Zion. Maybe. I don't know what the hell you're supposed to do with that. No idea. Dog, here's how crazy the Zion thing is, Gabe. My dad sent me a text on Saturday and was like, I think I'm rooting for Duke for the first time.
I saw you tweet that out.
And I said, what?
This is a landmark moment in the family?
Yeah, I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I like Zion. I'm like, hey, cool. Right? But I didn't know that. I was stunned. I have watched my father threaten to put somebody out of the house for rooting for Duke.
Wow.
I'll never forget. It was the 1994 national semifinal. Duke was playing against Florida. One of our friends came over and he went to undergrad in North Carolina Central in Durham. And he was like, yeah, I think I'm rooting for Duke in this game. And you want to talk about the needle coming off the record, right? It sounded like somebody had dropped a stack of plates. You're like, what? Hey, I went to school in Durham. No. No. The kibosh was put on that, right? So apparently, I guess Zion Williamson got more pull on my daddy than Grant Hill did.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask next. I was going to ask, like, well, so you certainly have a connection to both schools, but for your dad to not be a fan of Duke, that's got to be more or less kind of what we talked about in the last show about Duke and kind of the history there, the Jesse Washington story.
Yeah, there's something to that. Yeah, we didn't really do that. Like, I've lived, I've aged, you know, I worked in the media market there, so that, you know, gets you in a place where you got to look at these things a little different than you had at different points. And I mean, like, I'm not like at a place in my life where I'm about to be like really actively rooting against Duke. Like, I'm not invested in that way. I ain't rooting for him though. Like, ever. I wouldn't care if my kid played for them. I'd be like, hey man, journalistic ethics, bro.
Ooh.
Journalistic ethics. Can't root for you. No cheering in the press box. But I don't have anybody I root against anymore. I just don't care like that. Like, you got anybody you just like actively root against?
Maybe the Patriots.
Yeah, you know, they've never really bothered me. And I think it's helpful that I don't really know any Patriots fans. Like, I mean, not that I don't know any, but, you know.
I can introduce you to a couple if you want.
Yeah, no. That's why I work here and you work there. right? You're up there in Bristol. You're in the midst. Now I'm down here in New York. I don't really see him like that. I tell you, they was in them streets in Atlanta during that Super Bowl. And oh my goodness. I was like, yo, do y'all only sell jerseys for the white guys?
Yeah, okay. Around the Super Bowl time, it kind of felt like the walls were closing in on me around here.
No, it was fascinating. Like, it is a very unique sort of fan base. It was Edelman jerseys and Gronk jerseys and Brady jerseys. And I'm like, damn, y'all ain't got no brother who's jersey worthy on the team.
Can you name, I mean, what prominent brothers?
It would have to go back to Randy Moss.
Yes, I was going to say. I mean, because they keep getting rid of them.
There's true, but they just got some. They got like linebackers. They got the twins, the ones that be catching cheerleaders out the sky. Well, I guess Chandler Jones don't play there no more, right? Yeah.
They get him out of town.
Yeah. What about Sonny Michel? He was very good in the playoffs. Maybe we'll see some of those.
They just drafted him.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see some of those come around next year. Is that possible? And by the way, is there anybody that knows damn well he is not going to sign a contract extension with his current team more than first round pick as running back Sonny Michel?
Yes. I was going to say, like, they. Maybe there aren't any jerseys that are bought because they know that if they buy them, then they're not going to be on the team in like 2 or 3 years.
He is on the trade market right now for 2 years from now.
Yes.
He is already on the block. You can already have Sonny Michel. They're like, nah, we ain't going to pay nobody.
They're already scouting his replacement.
Yes. I guess Brandon Cooks is only there for a year. I was going to say, did anybody buy a Brandon Cooks jersey? Perhaps?
No.
Oh, you're right. Damn, I think that dude, I mean, they got like other DBs. Pablo's homeboy, the Asian dude, Chung, Patrick Chung, is that his name?
Yes, Patrick Chung.
Yes, yeah. You know, because Pablo will keep a running Rolodex.
Yes.
Oh, them cats. But yeah, no, I don't root against nobody. Like, I just, at this point in my life, where I am in my journey, I don't root against anybody.
Do you think they're going to win it all?
No, I do not. I don't know who's. I think Carolina. If I had to bet on somebody winning this all, and I haven't like manually done a bracket or anything, I would go with Carolina. The thing for Duke is they are ranked in the 300s in 3-point shooting, and they're close to the 300s in free throw shooting. And that is not a combination for an NCAA tournament champion.
Right? They are on opposite sides of the bracket.
I can tell you this though, and I watched this happen with Kentucky Louisville. The last thing anybody with any involvement in that rivalry wants is to have to play each other in the tournament. That's so much stress. That is so much stress. And if your squad lose and you got to go to work the next day, That's going to be ugly. But no, I think basically what you're asking me is if Duke, for Duke to win this championship, do I think they can go six games deep in this tournament without R.J. Barrett against good teams after the first round? Is it going to be pretty much good teams from there on out? Can they go five games against good teams without R.J. Barrett doing the shooting too much thing? I think that's asking for too much.
That's fair. He's a high volume guy.
No. The Maple Mamba. Now, I ain't rooting against Duke. Let me tell you what I am rooting against. Calling yourself the Maple Mamba. Down with that.
Did you just give him the nickname the Maple Mamba, did you?
No, somebody had it as like a game day sign and then he heard it and said that he liked it.
Oh no. Right. Adopting the name that you're given at game day is never a good look.
The Maple Mamba.
Because he's Canadian.
I guess. I guess. I didn't know Canadians was repping that hard for
T dot.
The Maple Mamba. We should talk about something else. All right, we'll be back to talk about Doc Rivers maybe coaching the Lakers. But first, hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BOMANI. ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, Peter Vezzi, who has me blocked on Twitter. Gabe, does he have you blocked on Twitter?
No, he doesn't.
People talk about me blocking everybody on Twitter. Go look up and see if Peter Vezzi has blocked you on Twitter. I don't even remember. I honestly don't even know what I did to get him to block me. But anyway, Peter Vezzi got me blocked on Twitter. Peter Vezzi says there's a possibility of Doc Rivers becoming the coach of the Lakers. Gabe, you are a resident Laker fan. What you think?
I was blown away by this when you said it. I was like, I thought, you know, everybody over in Clipperland, over, you know, America's team, happy red, white, and blue. I thought they're all like celebrating kumbaya. We're happy. You guys are sad. We got Doc. We got Ballmer, or as Genie Bus calls them in emails, Balls.
Yes.
Yes, that happened. And then they've got their, you know, whole rest of their front office, which includes, my man who used to write for Sports Illustrated.
Oh, yeah, Lee Jenkins.
Lee Jenkins. As
Lawrence,
like,
Frank.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I thought everything was kumbaya. What happened?
Wow, you really got some, like, pent up stuff in you here about these Clippers. I feel like you root against them.
Rooting against the Clippers, yes. I mean, okay, so when all of
Wow, is that beneath you? Is rooting against the Clippers beneath you?
No, it's not beneath me, actually. That's another team I root against. During the, okay, so at post, like, Donald Sterling stuff, when everybody was, like, behind the Clippers, someone in the media said that they were America's team. And I took, like, offense to that, and it turned into a situation where I got blocked, and, you know, I got an email out of it, so I'm trying to stay.
Yeah,
so I'll try and stay away from that. But they're not America's team. I'm never letting go of that.
Why is this so funny to me? America's team, the Clippers. Doc with the Lakers would be interesting. Like, I don't know how much Doc enjoys working for the Clippers, right? I don't know how much he would enjoy working for the Lakers. And, of course, the question of, do you want the challenge of coaching LeBron? Because it is a challenge. One man's challenge is another man's hassle, but I think the challenge part is undeniable. Whether you view the term challenge euphemistically or you look at it as, like, you know, straight ahead face value definition of the word. It would be a challenge to coach LeBron. The thing with the Clippers that is interesting is this idea that they might be able to sign free agents. Has that ever happened before?
What do you mean?
Like any free agent worth a damn voluntarily signing with the Clippers?
There's not one in my memory. Aside from like re-signing with the team.
Right. But even that's new.
Chauncey?
Oh yeah, but he was old, right?
Yeah. So not anyone like a star quality.
Yeah, no, like this is a first time thing for you if you're a Clippers fan. My man Lance, you know, he's a Clippers fan. He's like Clipper Nation. He got a Clipper Nation t-shirt.
No, not Lance.
Yeah, Lance is a big Clippers
fan. Oh boy. Lance. Oh, do the people know who Lance is?
I figure at this point, most people here know Lance is my guy. Works with me a lot. But Lance is a Clippers guy. I hope I didn't ruin him in your eyes.
Oh boy. I mean, yes, next conversation I have with Lance is coming up.
Oh, he loves nothing more than to talk to you about the Clippers.
Is he like closet Clipper Daryl?
No, he's not ridiculous.
Okay. If people don't know who Clipper Daryl is, Clipper Daryl is like fan number one of the Clippers.
They know. What an interesting hustle to decide that you're going to have is that you're going to be like Mr. Clipper. So the Clippers think they're going to get free agents, right? Like they think there's a possibility they can get Kawhi Leonard, and there's real questions about what free agents actually want to play with LeBron and whether the Lakers can offer enough franchise stability where if you have reservations about playing with LeBron that you still feel like this is a franchise that can get it done. Like, do you do it? I still kind of feel like the Lakers are the Lakers.
Yeah. I mean, which is why LeBron ultimately joined the Lakers, right, and didn't join the Clippers.
Yeah, that's true. He did have the option of going to play for the Clippers, and he did not do that. But I'm if you're Doc, I am kind of curious because, you know, Steve Ballmer is a crazy billionaire, and at some point, crazy billionaire is going to be crazy billionaire. Right? Like, he is going to start being ridiculously demanding for a title and all of that stuff. Like, is that a job that you are going to ultimately enjoy there? I don't know. This would be a fascinating question to have, especially as we try to figure out, like, if LeBron is in a decline. Did you see this? Apparently, that the only two players in the NBA who move slower on defense this year than LeBron are Dirk and James Harden.
I did see that. That was a pretty damning stat.
By the way, it's actually a more damning stat on James Harden.
Yes, you're right.
But it is a pretty damning statistic, though. I do think that people have an unrealistic expectation of what somebody is supposed to be doing in their 16th year in the NBA.
Fair.
Like, can you show me all these defensive stoppers in year 16? Like, that's not really how it goes. Most of those guys are going to play one end or the other. LeBron's been a bad defender, so you don't say that he's a good one. But I do think there needs to be some level of realism about what it is to play defense in the NBA at 34 years old. Like, he is not the guy that he was. That he used to be a guy that could play in fourth quarters and guard Derrick Rose one night and Pau Gasol on another. You know, like, young LeBron could guard Joel Embiid. Like, he couldn't necessarily shut him down, but the Miami version of LeBron could legitimately guard Joel Embiid. He could guard Ben Simmons. He could guard whoever it was out there that you needed to be guarded. And now I don't know who. I mean, I imagine there's some people he can guard, but I don't know if he will. Like, for who, for what? Like, at that point. But the decline is coming. And what I don't know is how exactly he's going to handle the decline or what player would have to be put alongside him for him to just be like, all right, man, you got this. Like, what's that going to take? I don't know. And then how exactly do you coach it once it winds up happening? Because it is worth noting that the best versions of LeBron that we have ever seen came in Miami, and those versions of LeBron had people standing up to him. Now, the head coach in that situation had Pat Riley behind him, and as big a deal as LeBron believes himself to be, Pat Riley believes himself to be an even bigger deal, at least in Miami he does. You know? And for all the moves that LeBron has made, you know what I think is funny that doesn't get talked about enough? We thought about him leaving Miami because Dwayne was getting old and it was a question about how well the roster would hold up and whether that roster would give him the best chance at winning championships. And then he went to Cleveland and they overhauled the roster and we saw what happened. But in terms of like long run, your chances at winning championships, the basketball move would be Miami. And it's kind of funny that that is the move to Miami is really the only move that he made for basketball, and the basketball was better. Every other move he's made has been for these different reasons. Going back to Cleveland because, you know, a little bit guilty, you know, going to L.A. in large part because you just wanted to be in L.A. Like, that's the spot that you wanted to be in. And so you then made that move. And now we're looking at the decline beginning of him as a basketball player while he's in a place that he went to for reasons not tied to basketball. I mean, it's kind of interesting when you think about it. Now, I think we're all in the same boat. You figure Luke's going to be gone, Gabe?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, ever since I saw that Thanks Luke Next video that the Ringer did, I was like, yeah, that's it. That's it for your boy.
Yep. Like, I think Luke's going to be gone. And LeBron has a strong preference for a coach who used to play in the NBA. Doc Rivers fits that bill. I wouldn't be surprised if Ty Lue wound up getting that job. I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Ollie wound up getting that job.
No.
Just because of the UConn?
Yeah. He was kind of found out, was he not?
Well, I don't know. That's a hard job. Like, really, really hard job. And the job is harder than it has ever been before. And he somehow managed to win a tournament with his best player being Shabazz Napier. So I don't know what to think about Kevin Ollie at this point. I also don't think necessarily how you are as a college coach. I think he's probably a guy who's better suited to be an NBA coach all along.
Do you think he regrets having not joined the Thunder back when they were looking at him and Billy Donovan?
He's got to. I can't understand why as soon as he won that championship, he didn't go to the NBA. Like, it was never going to get better for him where he was than it was in that moment. I cannot believe he didn't jump. But, like, that's the kind of guy that's going to wind up coaching the Lakers, maybe. But you gotta have somebody that can stand up to him. And if you don't have somebody who can stand up to him, you're going to lose. Period. Doc Rivers could be the guy. It doesn't matter whether he wants to stress. Also, Rondo contract end this year, right?
Yes, that was a one-year deal.
Okay, because ain't no way in the world Doc going to come from Coach Rondo again.
LeBron's got to choose.
That's stipulation number one. Like, yo, I did that. Like, both of y'all? Nah. That's one thing I do have to give an underrated thing I don't think that we have thought about for Luke Walton. You got to coach LeBron and Rondo at the same time?
Yeah, gosh.
Both of these cats that know they're the smartest cat in the room?
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. They over there like, they over there talk about stuff. Be like, hey, Luke, what you think? Hey, Luke. All right, fine. Never, whatever. Cool. We're going to do this.
Last note on this before we go. Can you imagine how mad Ballmer is going to be if he misses out on free agents?
If they don't get free agents, he's going to lose his mind.
Woo! Especially with how blatantly he's been courting the, you know, free agents all season long, like sitting courtside, you know, positioned here, even on the road too.
You are so excited at this prospect.
I'm giddy right now. Like, if you could see the smile on my face right now.
You sound like a hater.
Yeah, I'm a hater. That's cool.
Dabs to us all. All right, we'll be back to laugh at the New York Giants. Sup, Shannon? But first, the average interest rate on credit card debt is over 18% APR. Have you looked at your interest rate lately? Refinance your high credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. The rate is flexed. It'll never go up. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. Even get your money as soon as the day you apply. When you have good credit, you deserve great service and a low-interest fixed-rate loan from LightStream. That's lending uncomplicated. Want to save even more? My listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Bomani. LightStream.com/Bomani. All right, Gabe, I don't root for the New York Giants. My man Shannon does. Sup, Shannon? Oh, man. I called him when Beckham got traded. He told me he would call me back. He never did.
I was going to ask, like, did the conversation start with just a whole bunch of breathing in the background?
I just wanted to make sure he was okay, but he was at work, right? He's getting the show rundown ready and all
that stuff.
And Yeah, I mean, he was going to be sorry anyway. So I guess maybe there's not that much that he needs to, like, really be worried about in that regard because they were just going to stink. But, oh, my goodness. They traded Beckham and... We have a group text for the TV show with the producers and stuff. And so when the trade was made, One guy replied, that was a very sensible, a reasonable trade. And I'm like, and that's why you don't make it. Like, you're not, you can't get me to trade you Odell Beckham for a reasonable offer. Your offer needs to be totally unreasonable. Like, Gettleman said that it was an offer that they could not refuse. And did you see this? Like, they started off wanting 2 first-round picks, but he said it's really like they got 2 first-round picks because they got a first round pick and they got Jabril Peppers, who counts as a first round pick.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about it is, too, is like, if you're getting somebody who was a first round pick, that's like saying that, okay, rather than taking a first rounder that I can choose myself, I'll let you choose that for me.
Yeah. Like, did the Browns, is that what they told you? Like, Pepper, he kind of like a first round pick. You know, like that, that's really what it is. It's kind of like a first round pick. Yeah. Yeah. You can go ahead and have him. And I mean, he seems like a decent enough player. Like I don't want to like disparage him, but Gettleman, yo, I don't. We shouldn't talk as much about a general manager as we do him. Like, your name shouldn't be in this so much. You shouldn't speak so much in the first person singular as much as this dude does. And I've talked about this before. I can't think of a general manager more despised by former players. And you can make the argument that the guys that despise him are guys that he has released. But every general manager is out here releasing people. Like, that's a significant part of the job is releasing people. They don't talk about anybody else the way they talk about Gettleman. Then Gettleman is talking about how Eli is still good. Did you see that?
Oh, I did. I mean, it's just kind of like a his name, Gettleman, has become like one word for something that's very, very negative.
Yes.
I'm almost waiting to the point, or unless it hasn't happened already, where it becomes like an action word where it's like you are Gettlemaning.
Gettlemend is more likely to happen. Gettlemening is a little cumbersome.
Yeah.
You know, that fourth syllable, like kind of
really roll off the tongue.
Yeah. Like that's the issue, that you wind up with there. Now I will say this for him on Eli Manning. Eli was awful to start the year and was not awful at the end. Like, if you were actually to go look at Eli Manning's counting stats, you'd get yourself tricked into believing that he was, like, you know, a little better than he was. I think he had something like 4,300 passing yards. I think it was, like, 23 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. I mean, if you watch the games, he wasn't good. Like, he looked awful. But he was able, I guess, to reasonably produce enough in a way to make people feel like, okay, not so bad, you know, Eli Manning, right? Maybe. And Gettleman has decided that he's going in on this. But let me tell you something I saw that was interesting. And this is why their whole plan right now is so backwards. Gettleman wants to have a run-first offense that is centered around Saquon Barkley. Okay. The Giants were 29th in the NFL last year in rushing attempts. And I imagine that part of why they were 29th in the league in rushing attempts was it's hard to run the ball when you're losing. Right? They're not going to be good. It's hard to have a run-first offense if you are not good, because at some point you're going to have to bail on this because you're down by 2 touchdowns, at which point you can't be a run-first offense. Maybe you can be throw a bunch of screens to Saquon offense, but you can't be a run-first offense at that point. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but is the number one receiver now for them Sterling Shepard?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who it is. Is Saquon? Oh, they did sign Golden Tate now.
Oh, okay.
But is Saquon Gettleman's first round draft pick?
Yes.
So it's kind of like, I'm in town now. Okay, I'm taking Saquon. Okay, we're a run first offense because that's the course that I'm setting. So
yes.
Be damned anything that happened on the team before I got here.
Yep. And that's and what he wants to do is build, like, he loves, like, investing in guards, you know, like he wants to get his big old guys out there and they're going to go out here and they're going to muscle people. And then I don't know, man, I'm glad I don't root for the Giants. They apparently are not looking to take a quarterback at all in this draft. There was a draft last year full of quarterbacks. This draft is not full of them. But you telling me in 2 years you couldn't find no quarterback that you thought was worth kicking the tires on?
Well, we'll see if they go after Josh Rosen.
Yeah. All I'm going to say is, based on what we've been seeing about Gettleman, does Josh Rosen seem like his kind of guy?
No.
Like, I would love to see that first meeting with Dave Gettleman and Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen is coming in like, hey, man, I read this really interesting story in The Atlantic this weekend. Did you see it? Right? Like, no, like that, I actually really hadn't thought about this until right now. Based on all the reviews that we have received on Josh Rosen, whether you like him or not, just the kind of dude he is, he does not seem like a Gettleman guy. I guess that's going to become a thing, right? Gettleman guy?
Yeah, that's another, you know, action there.
Yeah, no, I hadn't, no. So, like, what quarterback, he really thinks Eli Manning still got it. But he also thought the team they had last year was good enough to win. And now he's like, yeah, but we're building. You know, they won 3 games the year before. This year, last year, we won 5. Okay. It's like 12 of those games were within one touchdown.
We were close.
Oh, okay. Like, what you're not going to do is try to outsmart me. Because that's what I feel like he's trying to do there, is outsmart us. And you're not about to do that. Like, I take that very, very personally when you try to outsmart me. Like, if you say something that's smart, okay, cool. That's what it is. But don't be out here trying to outsmart me. Ain't he trying to outsmart us? That's not what's up. No. That is not what's up. You see that where they asked him about his plan? And he was like, we have a plan. Everybody wants instant gratification right now. But we have a plan. And you got to trust us. Can you tell us what the plan is? We didn't ask you to, like, show us that the plan works. We just want to know what the plan is. Because in one step, it seems like you're making rebuild moves. Then you seem to be making win now moves. And we don't understand what it is that you're doing and trying to do both at the same time. It's a little confusing. So people would just like to know your plan. Trust me. Who that has a plan has ever responded to that? What is the plan with trust me? And you found them to be trustworthy.
Ooh, okay. So, slight sidebar. Was watching a documentary last night on HBO about a lady named Elizabeth Holmes. Are you familiar with this?
I am not.
Okay, so the people will have to watch this documentary or peep game and tell me what they think on Twitter, because this was fascinating. So there's this woman, Elizabeth Holmes, is like 19, drops out of Stanford and starts a company called Theranos, where they're supposed to be like inventing a way to, so that you can get a blood test just from a drop of blood from your finger. Mm-hmm. And it's like a little device, like a little box that's supposed to be able to run like a million different tests. So you get like instant results back. Mm-hmm. And it was just like this elaborate con. Where it's kind of like the whole mantra of Silicon Valley, like fake it until you make it. Like, she had this amazing idea, but it was actually impossible to do. So she just kind of sold everybody on this idea, and everybody's like, oh, wow, that's great. I'll trust you, you know, to give you hundreds of millions of dollars to kind of in pursuit of this idea, and they didn't get anywhere with it. So it's just this black hole where it's like, trust me, but I don't really have a track record to be trusted because I'm like 19, 20 years old and I haven't done anything except for drop out of Stanford. But is Gettleman on that level? What track record does he have of success?
Well, you can't argue that he built the Panthers team that went to the Super Bowl that year, but he was the general manager of the year that they went. And then they like ultimately fired. I am stuck on what you just told me, though.
You got to check this out, man. This is going to happen. We got to talk about this on the show.
Have you seen Big Shot, the 30 for 30, about John Spanos, the dude who bought the New York Islanders, basically along the same premise?
I have not seen that.
Okay, you need to watch it. It's Firefest level Connor.
That's, oh my God. That's what I was thinking about when I was watching this. I was like, this is Firefest all over again.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. And I hear this through my life and experience, and I don't think you hear this necessarily the same way, but I'm going to speak for everybody right now that hears it in that way, where I'm like, man, is being white that great? Because I just can't imagine no black person walking in on this. Yo, trust me. Okay, cool. Here are a few $100 million. That's not how this goes. Like the dude Spanos, that man walked into a bank like with nothing. He was just like, I think he needs something like 20. It may have been $200 million. But like one day he just needed to get this money by the next day. And he just walks in the bank and charms some dude up and walks out with a letter of credit. One time he was supposed to send something like $2 million, and I think he sent $2,000, and they asked him what happened. He was like, oh, my bad, I put the decimal in the wrong place. They're okay, no problem, and then he never sent it. And I just don't see no way in the world that my black self is being able to do these things. And to be fair, I imagine that you are hearing this and seeing no way that your white self is able to do these things. But guess what, Gabe? It looks like you can. Just go try.
Well, I mean, that is white privilege in a box for you, right?
There it is. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like the idea that you're like, yo, I got this idea. I don't have anything behind it. But you can still get people to give you hundreds of millions of dollars. And by the way, bless these people for the audacity to ask.
Unbelievable, right? The gall that you have to have. I mean, like, this woman, it was like, oh, she's a genius. Like, you know, she met with like an advisor at Stanford, and the dude was like a tenured faculty of over like 30 years. And she convinced him to quit his job and go and help her run this company at age like 19.
What?
Yes. People were like, oh, I just looked into her eyes and it was like gazing at Aristotle.
Yo, I gotta watch this when I get home just so I can sit on the couch and be furious. And you know why I'm furious? Not because she is like lied to these people. I'm hating. Like, I'm flat out 100% hating. Like, I got all kinds of stuff I can deliver and I'm trying to figure out how I can get in the room.
Oh, this is amazing. I mean, I kind of just hijacked the podcast right now, but it was with good reason, right?
I am blown away by this. Like, that's like, I just really feel like, if you white and got a sparkle of an idea, why are you not out here getting millions of dollars? Because I see people doing it all the time, and all they got is a sentence, right? All they got is the first sentence. I got this app that allow you to test blood for anything.
Woo, gosh. I mean, there was like a New Yorker piece that was written about, or like a profile that was written of her at the time, and they were interviewing the guy who wrote it, and he said, like, it was comically simple. I think there's like there's some sort of like mockery of like a Steve Jobs, I can't remember what it's from, but he's like holding up a little pill that's supposed to be like, to solve all your problems. It's like small, yellow, different, simple. Well, how is it going to do that? Oh, never mind about that right now. Just give me all the cash you've got in your bank account. Elaborate con man stuff.
Yeah, again, the audacity to be able to do it. I just don't possess it. And I kind of wish I did.
We know you can't be on top of all the news and information of the day. No need for the social media feeds. We got you. Now, if you haven't heard.
All right, Bomani, this first story comes from fashion.
I'm Jeffrey Fowler, tech columnist with The Washington Post. A few weeks ago, Nike began selling shoes that lace themselves, kind of like Marty McFly's sneakers from Back to the Future 2. The $350 Adapt BB shoes wirelessly connect to a phone to tighten and loosen with an app. But then the internet ruined all the fun. Right out of the box, Nike's connected shoes recommended a software update, which broke some of them. Suddenly, these really expensive shoes were no longer even useful as shoes. Nike says the problem affected a small number of customers, though its app currently has a 2.4-star rating. More than an embarrassment for Nike, I think it exposed a truth about the future of all sorts of products. When something connects to the internet, you're not really in control of it. There are lots of other examples of smart things turning dumb. Thermostats that freeze out owners, and Teslas that won't drive after an over-the-air update. These experiences have a name and even their own hilarious Twitter feed. The Internet of Shit. It's a play on the awkward adolescence of the Internet of Things. That's the Silicon Valley idea that connecting ordinary objects to a network will revolutionize homes, cities, farms, you name it. So what can we learn from Nike's broken shoes? I don't think the Internet of Things is going away. By next year, there's going to be 19 billion, yes, billion, connected things out there. But there's a ton at stake for our security and privacy with connected devices. There just isn't a lot of accountability for them. The thing that's easy to forget when you buy a connected shoe or whatever is that you're really giving a company the ability to stay in your life by collecting data about you, by potentially exposing you to hackers, by pushing out software updates that might turn your shoes into bricks. So before you bring one of these connected things home, it's best to ask if they're really relationship material.
Why did any... Did any of you, were y'all out here asking people to tie y'all shoes for y'all? Like, I remember when that came out, and I was like, so is there something in, like, the general shoe tying process that we've been getting wrong and that we had no idea? Like, I honestly don't think the original shoemakers get enough credit for coming up with such an ingenious design that seems to do whatever needs to be done and has worked for what I presume to be centuries. Or something approaching that. And then they had a app to tie your shoe for you, and then you can't get your shoe tied because the app went out. That's your own stupid fault.
That's an all-time fail right there.
Honestly, if I'm Nike, I wouldn't even invest in nothing in that app. Like, I mean, if it was a lesser shoe company, we'd think it was just a con, right?
Yeah.
All right, like, you go a couple weeks and you don't wear them, you just kind of forget you got them.
Originally, when I knew that these shoes were going to be coming out, I thought it was going to be that you would just press a button on the shoe and that it would tighten it for you.
Nope. It's an app. Do you have to charge your shoes, by the way?
That's a good question. You probably do. I mean, you probably do if it's powered, because it's not like you got a little, you know, motor on there that's gas powered or something like that. So you got to be charging it somehow.
These tech people are going to be the death of us.
All right. This second story comes from transportation.
My name is Peter Holly. I'm a reporter covering technology at the Washington Post. My latest story is about a machine that's straight out of science fiction, a flying motorcycle. Now, if you've seen Return of the Jedi or the movie Looper, you've probably seen machines that resemble flying motorcycles. But now a California company claims that it's building one of its own. The company's founder, David Maimon, the chief executive of Jetpack Aviation, claims his company's machine will be ready for select customers by as early as next year. If he's right, and there are a lot of skeptics out there, the machine he's building sounds incredible. A vertical takeoff and landing aircraft known as the Speeder, the machine will reach at least 150 miles an hour, have a 45 mile an hour range, and fly as high as 15,000 feet. The price tag? $380,000. The Speeder is the latest entry into a race to create autonomous flying vehicles, with companies like Uber, Airbus, and Volocopter already developing them. Eventually, these inventors say, commuters will be able to order an air taxi that whisks you across town in minutes, bypassing traffic below. Maimon also claims his aircraft could have military applications and be used to move heavy loads or soldiers on and off the battlefield. He claims the aircraft might also be useful for first responders, allowing them to reach locations that might otherwise be difficult to get to. Before you shell out a down payment for the Speeder, keep in mind we haven't seen actual photographs. Maimon says he's only developed a 1/3 size prototype. Pre-orders for the Speeder will cost you $10,000. But if you're the kind of person who's unfazed by the idea of sitting atop 5 jet engines as you streak through the sky, my guess is the cost won't really faze you either.
Con. Does that sound like a con to you?
I did watch the video of what it's supposed to look like, and I was like, yo, are you going to get hit with copyright infringement right now from Star Wars? This looks remarkably similar to Star Wars.
Look, if the price is $380,000, does that sound like enough for everything that's being described here? $380,000? Like, there are cars that cost $380,000.
Yeah, and this is just supposed to be $10,000? What?
Well, no, $10,000 is the pre-order.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
The total price is $380,000. But for the low, low price of $10,000, you can lock one in right now. What that sound like to you? Like, imagine somebody come up to you and be like, hey, man, I'm about to start selling this flying motorcycle, dog. Now, look, man, it's going to cost like 400 G's. But look, you give me 10 G's right now. As soon as they come out, you'll be the first one to have it.
10 grand to get in line, non-refundable.
We don't believe you. You need more people.
And why would you want to get whisked across town on one of these? I mean, like, even in Star Wars, when one of these dudes are riding on the back of them, he's like flying off, hey, barely hanging on, like, screaming out of his mind the whole time. And you're going to want to get it like an Uber to go to the Staples Center? I don't know.
Like, you ever been parasailing?
I have not.
I did that on vacation. It was fun. It was also terrifying.
Yeah, that is not my thing. And I would be terrified.
This is going to be parasailing without some instructor strapping you in, right? Like, you're on your own. This is yours. Like, who's going to give you driver's ed on these things? Like, that's the thing about these flying joints or whatever. For somebody to teach you how to drive it, they got to learn how to drive it. Who going to teach them how to drive it? How many lives are going to be lost trying to learn how to drive this flying motorcycle? Nah, man. This ain't never going to happen. Watch.
Well, I guess they can just watch Star Wars to learn how to drive.
Shout out to MV Peter.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, I kind of just know that you're going to pick his story without even knowing that it's him that wrote it.
And I don't pick the stories. Like, I pick them by the headline. Like, I pick them by the URL. He just MV Peter.
This next and last one comes from Metro.
Hi, this is Henry Grabar. I'm a staff writer at Slate. Last week, I wrote about New York City's plans to protect itself from climate change. After Superstorm Sandy arrived in New York in 2012, dragged a bunch of water through the streets and into the subway tunnels, and the city decided that it needed to have a comprehensive system in place to protect Lower Manhattan. So they came up with this idea called the Big U, and it included berms and levees and deployable flood walls and all kinds of protections that would keep the East River out of Lower Manhattan and out of those subway tunnels, both in the event of a hurricane and potentially in the future in the event of rising tides in a scenario where the Atlantic Ocean has risen due to climate change over the course of the 21st century. So the most ambitious part of de Blasio's plan, which he unveiled last week, was a new stretch of land going from the Brooklyn Bridge to the Battery and stretching up to 500 feet into what is now the East River. So the city wants to create 20 new blocks of the financial district there. Now the goal would, of course, be to protect what lies inland from the rising seas, and it would be fronted with a big levee, like the kind you would see along the Mississippi River in New Orleans. But the land that comes in between where the shoreline lies now in this future levee could, of course, be sold and turned into skyscrapers or condominiums or public housing or what have you. So the question with climate change is always who's going to pay for that, and I think that's obviously a big question with this because it's a multi-billion dollar extension of the shoreline. But when Bloomberg proposed a similar idea 5 years ago, he actually thought it would pay for itself because the land in Lower Manhattan is so valuable that even though it would cost billions to build more of it, people would buy it for billions more. That's the good news. The bad news is that this type of plan isn't going to pay for itself virtually anywhere else.
So, Gabe, you know where that is that they're talking about, right?
Relatively familiar.
It's where I am right now.
Yeah, the seaport.
Yes, they have me very afraid now of what's going to happen if the storm comes before that stuff happens and what happens if I get trapped on the subway. In this time period. You're right though, man. Ain't no land you can put up here that you can't sell. People greedy as hell about selling this stuff now though. Like you walking around, you see a lot of empty storefronts, especially in corner units and stuff, because everybody's trying to hit for that big score. And one of the big concerns that they have here actually is like in these fancy pants neighborhoods, they're like, yo man, nothing good comes from just having a bunch of empty storefronts. Right? Like it's a matter of time. Too many people with no place to live, you just be wasting all this good, you know, places, these good places with roofs that you're not using. Like, no, man, that ain't gonna happen. I found that to be interesting. Just the idea. They're like, yo, we're gonna have to build more city to save us from the river. I'm not nervous of you. Why would I be nervous? Are you nervous?
Positive for the company though.
Fair point.
It's no longer going to be oceanfront property. So the rent may go down. How about that? Didn't think about it now, did you?
And I'm sure we'll see that in our checks. All right, we'll be back with Unblock Me Bo, but first, every company battles challenges as they grow. Updating manual processes, replacing inefficient systems, getting a handle on cash flow. As you scale, you need software that can handle that growth. Introducing NetSuite by Oracle, the business management software that handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform. With NetSuite, you can save time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, and accounting, orders, and HR instantly right from your desk or even your phone. Thousands of the best-known brands and fastest-growing companies use NetSuite to manage their business, and now it's all available to you. The power of the world's most popular cloud management system is more affordable than you think. Right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights to overcome the obstacles that are holding you back for free. Don't miss out on unleashing your business's full potential with this free guide, Crushing the Five Barriers to Growth. You'll learn how to acquire new customers, increase profits, and finally get real visibility into your cash flow. Get NetSuite's guide, Crushing the Five Barriers to Growth, when you go to netsuite.com/Bomani now. Download their free Crushing the Five Barriers to Growth guide today at netsuite.com/Bomani. netsuite.com/Bomani.
Unblock me, Bo. You know Bomani Jones is not shy about blocking on Twitter. The Right Time team recognizes we all slip up, so Bo will give one lucky follower an opportunity to make amends. It's Unblock Me, Bo.
All right, Bomani. We haven't done Unblock Me, Bo, in a little while.
I hate this.
It's kind of difficult to reach the people that are blocked.
I think that's the hard part. Like, I put it on Instagram, by and large, because, like, how would the other people see it?
Yeah, well, and so bless the hearts of the people who are tweeting at us their friends who are blocked so that they can see the video. I tried to retweet them. You know, give them a little bit more love, give the people a little bit more encouragement. We've got two contestants on the show today. My man Eric and my man Keon. Have you observed what their cases are supposed to be?
Oh, here they are.
So Keon, he tweeted at you a Stringer Bell video. Oh boy, he should know better.
Yeah, is this the guy who said a reminder of why Stringer Bell was the best?
And this was back in 2013. Wow.
He knew better by then.
He knew better by then.
Like, this is all I'm trying to figure out, man. Like, you know I'm going to do this to you. Why in the world are you asking for it to happen in the first place? Like, I kind of feel like, we had to bleep this after, but whatever. My homeboy talks about Rudy Ray Moore, you know, Dolemite, and he had an older cousin who was a really big Rudy Ray Moore fan. He went to a Rudy Ray Moore concert, and Rudy Ray Moore called him a and it's one of the great highlights of his life is to be called a by Rudy Ray Moore. And maybe that's what these guys want from me, right? Is that what it is? So they can tell their friends that this has happened, but then they always want to beg and try to come back.
Potentially. I mean, that sounds about right, but let's hear from Keon at KK Jeff.
What up, Bo? This is Keon from home of Louisiana. You blocked me about, I want to say 3 years ago. You were going on one of your tantrums about Stringer Bell.
Tantrum, how bad
the dude was, how you hate.
Oh, it's a tantrum?
His character. And, I replied with a 2 minute YouTube clip. So I felt that Stringer Bell is one of the most intriguing fictional characters in the history of television. And naturally, you blocked me. I'd like to get back on the good side. You know, we'll never agree on Stringer Bell, of course, but you know, I find it weird that you despise a fictional character more than real life criminals out here doing real life bad stuff to black people. Anyway, get back to me. Holla. Peace.
Woo!
Tantrum, he said. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Tell me about this Eric guy.
Yeah, let's see Eric. He claims that you blocked him over a tweet about Nick Chubb not having as good of a career as Alfred Morris. But coincidentally, there was another tweet that day where you said, Petrino is a man of malleable morals, which is rarely what Louisiana needs, but what is so attracted to. And he said, just like every politician they ever elect.
Yeah, that was like kind of my point. I wonder what he did to get blocked, because that doesn't seem like it was block worthy.
Yeah, okay, so the Nick Chubb tweet, you said, that's the thing, good as McCaffrey is, he's the fourth running back in this draft behind Fournette, Cook, and Chubb. And he said, Chubb won't have a career as good as Alfred Morris.
You know what I got to say? This Eric guy absolutely sounds like he deserves to be unblocked.
Whoa, hold on. Let's hear from Eric first before we give him a call. Hold on.
Hey, my name's Eric from Birmingham, Alabama. Twitter handle RCWHLR, and I got blocked because I said that Nick Chubb would be lucky enough to have a career as good as Alfred Morris. Now, I still think it's up in the air, but that's what's got me blocked. Now, Bo may have thought I was a bot. I had just started Twitter. I don't think I should be blocked for that. All right, have a good one.
You know what? I actually think what happens is I thought that he was a bot, and he will be unblocked. But you know what? Before we call him, let's call Keon.
Okay, hold on.
Hello?
Hey, Keon, it's Bomani. What's going on, man?
How you doing, Mr. Jones?
I'm good, man. I just want to let you know, I heard your message. Gabe, what was he called? Did he call it a tantrum?
Yes.
Ah, and then what was that little side thing about, like, me caring more about a fictional character than people that are actually hurting black people? That was the other thing?
Yes, that was it.
That was you, Keon?
That was me.
I feel like you took a really strange approach to being unblocked. There's a lot of shade.
Maybe so, but I stand by those comments.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to holler at you. Take it easy.
All right, peace.
Yep. He's, just so everybody knows, he's still blocked. That's
all right, let me call my man Eric.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Eric.
Speaking.
Hey, it's Bomani. How are you, man?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Hey, man, I got to say, I do believe that I must have thought that you were a bot.
Well, it happens. I didn't have a picture. I just started Twitter.
Yeah, no, that does explain it. No, you know what? I don't think I thought you were a bot. It's probably this picture that you still have up now of your fingers, like, very close to each other, doing, like, a visual trick with a statue of a dude with his naked penis out. That probably made me think that maybe, just maybe, you wasn't on the up and up.
Yeah, but that picture wasn't up when you blocked me.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe it was the spirit of it coming through. I don't know. But anyway, my bad on that. Now I have unblocked you, even though you do have the picture with your fingers over the man's little penis in the picture.
Hey, that's the statue of David in Florence, Italy.
The statue of David's little penis. There you go. Glad you got a chance to see the world, man. Our boys in Birmingham don't get to Italy very often.
Yeah, I can thank my wife for that.
Hey, man, there you go. Good to talk to you, man. You have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
All right, now, see that, Gay? Wasn't that nice?
That was very nice.
Yes. You know his avatar is his finger on David's little penis.
Yes, I saw that, and I was like, oh.
Instant regret.
Yeah.
Instant regret.
Instant regret. There must be an interesting story behind this.
No, but I unblocked him. I went ahead and did it myself.
Wow. Very kind of you.
Keon's a buster, though. He ain't have to. All he had to be like is, you know, he ain't have to say that. I care more about fictional character than people. What do you want me to do? Join the police?
Ooh, that was ice cold. I think that was the first time that we have called somebody just to let them know that they're not getting blocked.
Yeah, a tantrum. You still try to get unblocked, sucker. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing every couple of days. My man Gabe Bassane handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Thank you to our sponsors. Thanks to NetSuite. Thanks to ZipRecruiter. And also thanks to Lightstream. Thank you to our, if you haven't heard, contributors. Thank you to Jeffrey Fowler of The Washington Post. Check out his story on Nike shoes that were supposed to tie themselves, except they don't do that no more. Thanks to MV Peter Holly for his story in The Washington Post about flying motorcycles. And also thanks to Henry Grabar of Slate. Check out his story on New York City trying to build more city to protect them from the rising waters. Remember to subscribe to The Right Time. Check us out at the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.
The Right Time with Bomani Jones is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.